All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Great to have Michael Applegate with us, the first-year Sherrard AD. I know before we came on the air, Michael, we were talking a little bit about your background. You went to Sandberg High School in the Chicagoland area, and you're telling me now you're wearing purple today. Now, two of the famous athletic alums at Sandberg are Zach Kustak, the former Northwestern Wildcat coach, and the former head or the current head coach of Northwestern,
Pat Fitzgerald.
Yes. So are you privy to the Northwestern Wildcats in the Big Ten?
I'm a Big Ten guy, so it hurts me, you know, and we could always talk about conference stuff, but seeing a Rutgers and stuff like that.
I want the original Big Ten.
Yes.
Throw Penn State out, get back to the original to Big Ten.
that hurts me in that sense. But, and we're speaking about the class size. I came from 900 in each class and come to not even 900 in one building, you know, what we have here at Sherrard, but it caused me to just, you know, as a 6'5", 6'6" individual, just, you're just basketball, and, you know, I know you played volleyball here or do that, but you're just one sport, and that's why I love Sherrard, where we have multi-sport athletes, and they know that, and I think it just benefits them to compete in multiple sports, multiple activities, and, you know, basketball players even doing part of the drama club or, you know, part of the football team then, part of baseball. I just think being a part of as much as possible has been a huge benefit of what the kids at Sherrard go through.
So do you like because it's a culture change for you from being basically an urban setting school with that type of student population to a rural school and that type of student population. Do you like the change?
I've told everybody I've met this year that it's been a great experience. You know, I didn't know what to assume coming in. I was just going to, you know, put my head down and work hard, but it is a great thing. And the quality of individuals, like I said, that we have that compete in these multi-sport, and those parents that understand that it is a full grind of a year if you're going to be in a multi-sports, but it's better for the kid to compete in those different sports. The research I'm doing is finding less injuries if you're doing multi-sports. And the latest stat was the NFL draft upcoming, that 95% of the first round picks that they're predicting have played multi-sports. So you're talking about the cream of the crop football-wise, but they're playing other things. They're doing those basketballs or baseballs or wrestling, and they're competing in multi-sports.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. I'm a high school basketball junkie where I like to go to both state tournament weekends for the boys, and I'll go to, if I'm not doing something, I'll go to a sectional, a 3A, 4A sectional, or super sectional. And I went to the 4A super sectional that Simeon played in. They played at ISU at Redbird, and they were playing Edwardsville. I wanted to see the kid from that Mark Smith that everybody, he still hasn't committed yet, Mr. Basketball in Illinois. And, well, Edwardsville, they have a 5-star football recruit that's going to Iowa that plays on their basketball team. Big 6'6" dude, but he plays basketball, and he's a 5-star football recruit going to Iowa. So I love those type of stories, especially at the big schools like that.
Yeah, it's just competition. I mean, I've experienced just playing one sport, and I know it benefited me at times to actually get shots up all the time. But at times I feel like, you know what, maybe if I competed in a volleyball or a different sport, I would have that sense of, again, you know, that AAU where who cares if you lose, and when you play 5 games in one day, oh, it doesn't matter. I think that is coming into our society of, you know, if we lose. And I'm not saying winning and losing is the most important thing, but I'm just saying the sense of it's not a big deal when I feel like, you know, if you're going to step on those lines or in that court, you're giving it your all.
All right. You were talking about the original Big Ten. But, you know, Rutgers, I agree, Maryland. You don't need to be in the Big Ten. You know, you need the 10 original teams. But so it's a segue to conference affiliation.
Yeah.
All right. And some of the listeners are out there that are old school. Well, okay, then why isn't Mercer County, Rock Ridge, and Sherrard playing football every year in Orion? So I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of the, maybe, I don't know if it's a difficult position that you're put in as AD. Now, to back up a little bit, to give you the story on this Olympic Conference movement, or you know, talking about reestablishing it. Now, most people are saying that it's coming from Sherrard. Well, I want to back up, and I tell people, no, not really. Mm-hmm. Now, it is mm-hmm. because Alan Boucher is the superintendent at Sherrard. But the year he left Mercer County, when he was the superintendent, there was a board meeting, and Nat Zunkel was still the athletic director, head football coach. He had not left yet. There was a board meeting where a couple of board members had talked about what about examining this conference affiliation issue again, because we're getting these questions asked, why can't we play Rock Ridge? Why can't we play Sherrard? Why can't we play Orion? Can we, instead of traveling or doing whatever, trying to reach some kind of a, and they use the terminology Olympic Conference. Well, that was kind of on the table to examine that. Well, Mr. Boucher left. He took the Sherrard job that mm-hmm. same school year and left in October. And then Coach Zunkel, that was his last year's head football coach, he had accepted the job up in McHenry. So that never basically got off center point. Yeah. So he goes to Sherrard. And I got a call, I remember, one of my broadcasting colleagues here, Darren Mazzari, had posted something on Facebook about, I can't remember what it was even, and I said, you know what, Bizarre, I'm going to call Boucher up and see what's going on. And so this was in December.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, we do need to examine or explore that again. And a lot of the places I go, they always talk about, well, let's do this. Yeah. What about ever reviving this Olympic conference? Now, this is a push by the superintendent who's always said, yeah, some of these rivalries should be restored. Now, here's first year AD Michael Applegate having to go to some of these meetings where the superintendent's not there. I would assume that kind of puts you in a little bit of a difficult position, but I'm going to tell you something. I applaud Boucher for at least bringing Mr. Boucher, applaud him for bringing the issue up, because I tell people say, why are you pushing the Olympic Conference all the time, Taylor? I'm like, I don't care if you want to do it or you don't want to do it, just make a decision on it and be done with it. And I don't want to hear anybody complain about, you know, some of these things. Well, we're not playing this team or we're not playing that team. That's fine. I don't care. Just stop. Do it. Either say yes or say no and move on.
Well, again, we are currently committed to the Three Rivers Conference, and, you know, we have the two-year contract. But it's a very, again, if one team moves, I'm worried about something else crumbling. So
there's always talk in the background of somebody moving. And for people that say that there isn't, that's a lie.
And that's where I can't have our kids left out of a non-conference or not have 9 football games or, you know, bless Scott Daly at Rock Ridge. That's a great AD. But he found that one football game somehow. And I don't want to be put in that position. So, again, it's making sure we have options available. And since I'm also junior high athletic director, seeing that Prairie Land conference we are in, to me that's something that is great, where these kids that play them, you know, each other in junior high, the Knoxvilles, the Mercer Counties, Orions, Rock Ridge, us, can also play each other in high school. And I know there is other sports that we have the non-conference games with Mercer County, but it is the football where the big gates, the big headlines, the personal relationships, the communities, it's always worth just investing in making sure if it could happen, it could. And I don't know if it is. I just know that at the Three Rivers Conference meeting, I'm making sure that we play Orion and Rock Ridge in football. I think that only makes sense if we're in that conference. But because of big, small, it might not always happen. And that's a worry for me.
Because you guys aren't playing Rock Ridge again this year, right?
No, Rock Ridge this year.
See, and that's where people...
The
next 2 years you're not playing
them?
Well, and that's where people will say, how can those schools that are actually in the same conference not play one another?
Yeah.
That's where, to me, the conference affiliation is so crazy, because it's like, how can Sherrard and Rock Ridge, who are in the Three Rivers, but not play each other in football?
And again, who knows who would win or lose, but it would be one of those memory type of games that, you know, you can't. What team was that again? No, it's Rock Ridge and Orion.
Well,
and
that's the other thing where Rock people Ridge can say you stuff. Make too much of the conference affiliation issue, but then there's also the same people will say, well, why aren't our gates not better? And even the years that you're not very good, I'm talking about winning and losing, most average Joes in those school districts are probably going to get out and go to some of those games when you're playing a a local school. That's just my opinion.
And again, I'm a money guy too, and people, you know, give me a hard time about Gates, but Gates also funds so many academic programs or make new improvements. And I know we got the new Mercer tax, sales tax, where we can get better improved facilities, but you can always have more if there's a bigger revenue pool.
So getting back to the conversation, has anybody ever said, Applegate, what's your superintendent doing over there? I mean, have you been in have you been putting in kind of a delicate position?
Everybody wants to know, you know, the truth, and again, it's hard to tell the truth sometimes because you're not getting the truth from them, you know, if they're really looking or not. But, again, what we did was just look into interest for our kids where we can't be left out of a non-conference. We want our wrestlers to have an all-conference. We want our, boys and girls, basketball, football, whatever, you know, they need to be a part of a conference. So we couldn't be left out in case some dominoes fell in whatever conference.
Yeah, so... and that's, again, for me, the bottom line is what's a matter with, because I got, believe me, friend, yeah. I've got some angry emails from different school officials and even a coach saying, you know, this shouldn't be discussed publicly.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's conference affiliation. Yeah. Calm. I mean, that's what it is. People get so, what is so amazing to me is why some of these school officials think that all this discussion has to happen
in a dark room
behind scenes because I get it, they're protecting their interest here while also trying to protect their interest over there at some other league.
And that's where Alan Boucher has been amazing because he's not going to lie. He's going to say, we're going to invest some time in this. We're going to bring in some schools and see if this is actually something we could pursue or not. And it wasn't something, like you said, that's happening in a dark room where nobody knows about it or the telephone.
And it's like I told the coach, I'm like, it's not happening. He wants to discuss it, but by what you're telling me, it's not going to happen because you're angry about him even bringing it up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to me the thing that's so amazing to me is people get angry if it's even discussed publicly. Yeah. Some people do. And to be quite honest, most of the people I talk to in my circles, it's just basically, hey, I'm not going to get in this dumb debate about which conference is better or worse or whatever. Yeah. It's just I want to play the local schools.
Yeah.
That's it. And the starting point for me is the Prairie Land Junior High Conference. It's a brilliant, perfect conference that is going to last probably forever. And those six schools, to me, are the foundation for a high school conference. That's just my opinion because I know what the relationship has been like with the junior high relationship. Yeah. But that's just me.
Yeah. And again, going, you know, being a part of the junior high programs like I am, I see it like you, where these kids then they know each other off the floor then. They compete hard. And friends take the pictures afterwards, especially the, like, Orion and Sherrard kids or, you know, the Sherrard. I mean, but Knoxville,
because they've grown up at the youth levels from playing against one another. And then all of a sudden they get into high school, and I think those six teams are divided in four different conferences. To me, that just doesn't make no sense. But I'm not in the position to make those final decisions. Facility. I want to talk a little bit about that because I know we interviewed Mr. Boucher over there, and Sherrard's one of those school districts that split between the Mercer County and Rock Island County, and Rock Island County just approved the sales tax as well, the school facility occupation tax. Mercer County, I think, 3 or 4 years ago approved it. So Sherrard is reaping those benefits. Yeah. And on the drawing board are new lights at Clifford King Field.
Yes.
Amen, need those.
Yes.
And a wood floor, which I've heard every basketball coach that has coached there say, let us have a wood floor. And then a good thing for Coach Garrett, a wrestling room on the drawing board as well. So that's some good things going on.
And all those things have basically since the whole, extension of the high school have been from that current time, you know, from 1970s, 1980s, before I was born. So an upgrade is needed. The floor, I mean, that floor, I can't run up and down on that floor. I'm worried about my knees on there. And just the look and the freshness of something new. The wrestling room right now, you know, to have 30 kids in a little area that we have of 400 square feet, we've had concussions and injuries because the mats are too close to each other. So to have a better facility for them and the lights that could help track and football and the band that practices out there, and the band, I also have to mention what a great, you know, band program is up and coming, but to have those lights for that, I think those three things the school board has given us the go-ahead for, it's a great time right now.
Yeah, amen. And you know, I was here when when Sherrard was awarded the grant for the Joel Brunsvold complex, and I always tell one of my favorite stories of covering Sherrard athletics is when they had the ribbon cutting or the groundbreaking mm-hmm. for that. And Joel you never got to meet Joel Brunsvold, but you talk about a great dude, man. He was the best, and he was such a guy that understood why high school sports were so important to be part of that educational experience. And I remember when he had that ribbon cutting ceremony, he said, I was shaving this morning before I came out here, and I cut myself and I bled purple. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, yeah, Brunsvold. And then he's bringing the, you know, the state grant for that Joel Brunsvold complex out there to get the four diamonds. Because I was doing Sherrard games when the softball team played their home games at New Windsor. And then park at Milan? I forget the name of the park where they played their baseball games. So that's how old school I am. And it's nice to get those facilities, you know, on site. And I, you know, even though that, you know, you have the condition of the floor, and a lot of the coaches don't like the tartan floor, and I get that, and then the lights need to be better. But I think people at Sherrard sometimes take for granted what a nice junior, senior high school campus they have. Now, this is from the outside looking in, and just purely, you know, from an athletic standpoint, where what you have three gyms in that building, and the amount of space you have on that campus where you could have, like, you know, 17 practice fields, it looks like, with high school football. Because the one day last year I walked out where your practice field was at for football, I had to walk like almost it seemed like a mile from Egypt, the park. And I mean, it's just all grass through there. So
I
mean,
you're also talking to AD that enough is never enough, you know, because all the coaches come to you about that 3 o'clock practice time or such. But you're right. We are been very blessed with our facilities and facility management by Russell Jenkins and such to have it up in par. But the biggest thing, and I know we talked about this too, was boosters. Our booster program is top-notch, and I know I've tried to give my all this year and spend a lot of time and do that, but Boosters is there twice the amount of time I am. And what they do for everything in terms of making sure that we have the most quality uniforms, to the best equipment, to helping out if it's a bag or something like that needed, they're purchasing it. And I can't give enough kudos to walk into a situation where Boosters program says yes and puts those kids first and thinks about that and making sure that they have a great high school experiences. So, you know, from Carly Minch and my secretary, Connie Helm, that does an amazing job helping me each day. But all of those boosters that help out, I mean, I applaud them.
Well, and it's funny because they used to do that $10,000 drawing or whatever, and I used to get an MC that with Connie Helm and then Robin Redpath and all those people that are involved in boosters, and you see a lot of the same faces that are getting it done.
And even if their kids aren't even around anymore, they just stick around and they help and they commit time. They'll be there tonight. They'll be there, you know, of course, for all those other games, opening and closing concession stand. So, I mean, I've been very lucky that, again, somebody that's saying, yes, all right, if you're getting a new gym, do we need this to be upgraded? Let's make it fresh. Let's do it right. Let's not do it where it's just, it looks tacky. Let's do it right.
All right, so all the stuff I'm hearing about Sherrard today, I think I'm going to officially throw my hat in the ring for the head basketball job.
I don't know if you can handle me as an AD. I don't know if you can handle that.
No, but you know, the conversation I've had with you, Michael, mm-hmm. Applegate, I kind of like what I hear over there. So
again, what I've been a part of now, we got a new, we're getting a new dean in Matt Hutchins. And during that interview process, there was a teacher that made a comment. I'm very excited because of the quality of applicants we're getting. We had that with football. I'm having that with basketball right now. The quality of individuals, it's not like we're, you know, having to, you know, call somebody and force somebody. It is an exciting time where people want to come to Sherrard. They're hearing the things, like you mentioned, they have great leadership, they have a stable school board, they have great families and communities.
And the facility improvements
that are up and coming. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the dynamics of the job, too. And we talked about, you know, use the Josh Whitman experience with, you know, John Gross. It's not always easy as well, because you're put in other positions where you know, have to meet with parents or student mm-hmm. athletes mm-hmm. or discipline, you know, with student athletes or whatever. So, you know, it's not all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows all the time.
It's not where...
I thought you were going to tell me that.
No, my dad, who a longtime coach too, amazing person, he would mention the athletic director would, you know, not show up until noon or 1 o'clock, you know, and then read the paper for whatever the time might be. But it's a constant go, you know, to get at school before 7 o'clock and to make sure things from busing to the kids, you know, playing conditions are good, to making sure that next year's schedule is all set, that we can have a full volleyball schedule like we do now for next year, to make sure that everything is set for, you know, a Jim Taylor to walk in and that everything is there, that you're not setting up I would hear about stories, you setting up a table and getting things like that. It's just got to be done right. And that takes a lot of time. And I know I mentioned my wife already, and we got 3 kids, but I'm very lucky to have an amazing wife that knows that the time commitment that this position has. It's a 7 a.m. to if a football game's over at midnight type of job. And so I've been very blessed to have such a quality partner in that.
Well, and it's another thing when I tell people, when you say I have to do it or I want to do it. Mm-hmm. I can readily tell in my job mm-hmm. what ADs want to do it mm-hmm. and what ADs have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's the buy-in from the people that you're involved in hiring as coaches. Do they know that he has to be here, right, or does he want to be here?
And
there's a big difference.
And I mean, Mike Proposi has done it for a million years, so he has his regimens and systems. But I'm sure a lot of first-year ADs struggle, and you know, at times I've struggled mightily myself. Where you know, it's a grind. It is a constant grind all year long, and I think that burnout process, you know, 1 year and done, or you have those that understand it and are there for 20 years, and hopefully 20 years is in my future. But it's been a huge commitment from my family, but I've been very blessed that I have administrators that also say on spring break, get away with the family for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But Scott Munson was still working. Yeah. I tell you that. He was still making his plans.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait till next year when I get to call him at 7:15 every Saturday morning to get him out of bed. you know, the dynamic of how you know, the high school sports culture has changed a little bit, where you hear it, you know, and you just hear you always hear the bad stories more than mm-hmm. you hear the good stories. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about some of these parental issues where parents are upset with something and you hear all the parents are running this coach out or whatever, you know, I tell people, here's how I view it. You know, if you follow the proper channels that you're supposed to, when you go to the preseason meetings, everybody has them, and you sign the contract, whatever, but you don't read it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 9 out of 10 don't read it. So what do they do? And hey, man, I'm not a choir boy here. Mm-hmm. My kids have played. I haven't been happy with some of the decisions coaches have made regarding them. We're human. I mean, that's the way it is. But they're the coach. It's never been to the point where I really want to run, you know, to somebody and run this coach out of town, but you're sometimes you can be upset about different things, and you don't see it the way the head coach does. But I always, before I do something stupid or dumb, I always reflect back to, well, the preseason parent meeting and the contract that I signed. What did I sign up for? Yeah. And, you know, you go through the preseason meeting, and there's the protocol that you should follow. And, you know, the main protocol is don't be a, basically, read between the lines, don't be an idiot and run down a coach after a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, 9 times out of 10, that's where the issue happens, is you want to run at that coach either right before the game or right after the game and say something. Now, I have no problem if you are a parent, Michael Applegate, and Jim Taylor's the AD, and you as the parent follow the protocol, and you meet the coach, and you say, I'll meet you after the game, or, you know, whenever he wants
to. 2 days later.
Yeah. And I'm not happy with that.
Yeah.
Then I go to the next channel and the next channel. I'm good if you follow the proper protocol. Have at it.
And that's where at Sherrard, you know, we have our meet the teams and we discuss that. And I have not seen issues with that where people have been coming to coach. The coach has too much going on after the game. I mentioned at meet the teams. You had just had all this excitement and whether it be a win or a loss, but you have 5 million things in your heads about a bus or this girl or checking on this. So just give them that time. And I know every parent wants their kid to play. And wants, you know, their team to win. And if the team doesn't win or the, you know, kid doesn't play, it's the coach's fault. And but what we have is people that have understood not to do that. And of course, I would love to say that there hasn't been one issue, but, you know, people are going to, you know, just question something or wonder about what's going on. And I'm lucky to have that conversation, and they've respected my thoughts. It might not have been something that, you know, their opinion that they wanted, but it, at least it's a dialogue and not somebody
and if
doing
they're following
something
the same, proper protocol, yeah. That's what you do.
I mean, uh-huh.
All right, so the next big hire for sports is basketball. When's that going to happen?
Hopefully soon.
It's not going to be Mike Krzyzewski.
It's not going to be Coach K. But hopefully soon. I've gotten a great team committee together, and we just want, like any decision, what's best for those kids. You know, who's going to really put them first and put the feeder system. I mean, that's lucky of being in the same building. You have 7-8 at your disposal, too. You can walk down that practice. You can talk to that coach. You can have some, you know, thoughts and be at their games. You know, what Coach Kelly did was amazing. I've talked to you about, you know, my son, I would have no qualms about him being in a Coach Kelly program. What a top-notch person. And he's built this. And I think with, you know, the kids that we have coming back, you know, especially these guards, we could really be a top contender in conference. And who knows, with the right coach, we can get to that next level.
All right, so maybe we're in April, so maybe the board meeting this month, maybe that'll happen.
I'm hoping so.
All right, well, I tell you, it's been great working with the Sherrard people, and Michael doing a great job over there, so keep up the
Well, again, thank
work.
You for
and
this
I'm looking
time.
Forward to working with Scott Munson in the fall,
oh, yes.
too, by the way.
Thank
and
you
we'll
for
be
your
out
time
on the Diamond, I know, covering a couple Sherrard softball and baseball games. And then you guys,
if we ever play, I don't know.
And you guys are hosting the baseball,
regional.
Softball or baseball regional?
Baseball regional will be
And that's
there.
Always a great complex to
yes.
host the regional
yes.
with the parking and all that, so...
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, we're pleased. I'm so glad you could come in this morning and
thank you.
Talk Sherrard Tiger Athletics with us. Keep up the good work.
Go Tigers.
All right. Good to see Michael Applegate in studio with us on the WRMJ Sports Line.
At Country Financial, we want to help you plan for a future you can own. That means protecting what you have now